It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook, 1320WILS Weekend Kickoff, and then you can also follow us on Twitter, WILS Weekend Kick. Now that Scott Eckersley's back in town, we can actually update those things because I am technologically illiterate. So now that Scott's back from his trip, he can actually do that stuff. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. There are three things that I've liked about these NBA playoffs and three things that I've hated about these playoffs. The three things that I hate so far. Number one, it never fails that everyone makes a run in the NBA playoffs. Name any game this year, somebody has been winning by 9 or 10 points, and then within 5 minutes, that other team has come back and either taken the lead by 10 points or have tied it up. This is what you need to know about the NBA playoffs. If you are watching in the third quarter and it's a 20-point lead by one team, turn it off and turn it back on in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go. Because I guarantee you it will be a 2-point game at that point. Now, some people may find this exciting. Now, because I don't find the NBA exciting, I don't find comebacks that I know are coming exciting. In March Madness, when there's a comeback, it's exciting because I don't know it's coming. But in the NBA, because the strategy is if you take a 20-point lead, you put your bench guys on to rest your starters for the home stretch. So you know there's going to be a comeback. There always is. So that's one something that I've always hated about the NBA playoffs is it's too predictable. I know there's going to be a comeback. If it was unpredictable, I'd love comebacks. But because it happens every game without fail, kind of drives me nuts. Number two, the spacing between NBA playoff games is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I realize you're trying to get every single game on TV for more advertising rights. So from a dollar standpoint and from a publicity standpoint, I get it. I do. However, I can't stand that teams get 4 days between games two and three. 4 days. What could you possibly need to rest on in 4 days between games two and three?
Game seven between Memphis and Oklahoma City is coming up here. When are they even playing that?
I think tomorrow night. Usually once it gets closer to a series ending, then they go to the two nights.
Game one was two Sundays ago, the first. And that was with Memphis playing on a quick turnaround. They ended their series with San Antonio on the 29th. 2 days later, they were playing game one. So they finally had a quick turnaround, and it's been 2 weeks just for this series.
Miami and Chicago series, the Eastern Conference Finals, there will be 3 days between games one and two and 4 days between games two and three. 7 days between three games. That's absolutely ridiculous, not to mention how long off are they getting before they actually start that series. So you're talking about three games in a 14 to 15 day stretch. Now, I realize you're competing against the NHL and you want those TV, but it's the NHL. People can't even find Versus, and you're trying to compete against them? Go head to head. You will dominate them in the ratings. Doesn't make any sense. So it's always drove me nuts, the spacing between games. And number three, just a pet peeve of mine, too much one-on-one basketball. You saw this towards the tail
Welcome
end.
Welcome to the NBA, dude.
Well, I know, but you saw this even towards the end of the tail end of the Detroit Pistons era, where when they were playing the Cleveland Cavs, it was just space out and go one-on-one against the Cavs in that series where they lost to the Cavs and really started the spiral downhill. Before that, I liked watching the Pistons because there was emotion offense, everybody was involved, you didn't know who it was going to. Well, these days it's all one-on-one basketball, and as much as that is the style of the NBA, it's always drove me nuts. However, there are three things that I have found very entertaining about this year's playoffs, and I don't usually compliment the NBA playoffs because I think they're terrible, but there are three things that have stuck out that have really excited me and kept me watching. Number one, The teams that the NBA needed to get far have gone far. The Miami Heat, they needed the Miami Heat to get to at least the conference finals. Needed them to. The Chicago Bulls. The NBA needs the Chicago Bulls to be good. And also, the NBA needs their NBA, the player of the year to be good. Now, a lot of people have criticized Derrick Rose in these playoffs. But when it's all said and done in these playoffs, he's averaging 29 points and 8 assists. He's shooting 42% from the floor. He had a bad couple of games at the beginning of the playoffs. But overall, his averages are right where they were during the regular season. So they get Chicago into it. And even I think the Lakers losing helps the NBA. Because a lot of these sports, Scott, it's a dynasty type of sport. And people get a little rubbed by that. So to see four new teams in the conference finals, or maybe not new teams, but four teams that are not the LA Lakers in the conference finals, is good for the sport.
I was just going to say the same thing when you started with that. Because the Lakers, you always think, well, you want your biggest market team. And yeah, it might hurt the ratings if the Lakers aren't there, because people do tune in just to see Kobe.
Yep.
But I do think it generated a lot more buzz seeing them get swept and figuring out. And when you have Magic Johnson come out and say that they need to blow up the team and change everything. And I do think maybe it's because we're more casual fans seeing the new teams in there.
Yeah.
And the West makes us a little more intrigued by it because we also know them, know those players, like to see them come through. But yeah, I think the Lakers losing is actually, I won't say as good as like Miami winning because so many people were against that. That would have been the ideal matchup, but it does almost as much for them.
Well, and the final piece of the puzzle that will make this literally a perfect playoff for the NBA and something they should be very happy with, they've got to hope Oklahoma City gets through Game 7 because they need to introduce Westbrook and Durant to the world. Because Oklahoma City, people hear about them on SportsCenter, but nobody's actually really seen them play a bunch of times in a row, and they're really good.
Could you imagine the media blitz that will happen because that is going to be the new face of not just the NBA, but USA basketball.
And both of those guys are long-term deals in Oklahoma City. They're not going to get caught up by this free agency thing and now Oklahoma City can really build on that franchise because not only did they re-sign these guys, they signed them at non-max contract deals so they can go get other pieces to the puzzle. So Oklahoma City is really, they're the opposite of this whole big three scenario. But the bottom line is getting Oklahoma City in would make this perfect for the NBA. Number two things I like about these NBA playoffs, Mark Cuban is still on the front page headlines. Mark Cuban's team, the Dallas Mavericks, are still in it. And I think it is great for the NBA when their best owner is still a part of the NBA playoffs. There is something that Mark Cuban brings to the table that no other owner does. Now, Dan Gilbert tries to bring it, but he owns the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're awful. But Mark Cuban is a great owner who cares about his players, cares about his team, and cares about the league more than anything. You can say what you want about the comments that he makes. He makes those comments because he cares about the league as a business. He cares about the league as a whole. And so having Mark Cuban still in the playoffs, in fact, I think it'd be great for the NBA if the Mavericks won the whole thing. I think that would get Mark Cuban to invest even more in the NBA. It would get him to stop focusing on other sports trying to buy another team, and that's good for the NBA. And number three, and the biggest thing that I like about these playoffs, the most intriguing thing is that these playoffs have formed a showcase between which strategy is better. Because in the NBA, we're kind of at a fork where NBA teams are saying, okay, do we want to build a team mentality or a big three mentality? And it's really broken up into two groups. And this really has been a showcase of which is better, big three mentality or team mentality. Because you've got Atlanta, Dallas, Memphis, Chicago. These are team-oriented mentalities. And then you've got Miami, Boston, LA, New York Knicks. These are teams that are big three mentality. And they've gone up against each other. And we get to see which mentality is better. Now, so far, the team mentality is winning. If Oklahoma City gets through, they're kind of, Would you consider Oklahoma City a big three or a team mentality? I consider them more of a team mentality, but I can see where people would make the argument that they're on their way to a big three mentality.
Yeah, they're a team right now. Russell Westbrook wants it to be a big two,
yeah,
on its way to a big three. But yeah, Kevin Durant is the go-to man there. And they have a surprisingly good supporting cast
around him. Yes, they do. Yeah, they definitely do. But I guess I still consider them a team mentality. So you're going to get three teams in the conference finals that are team mentalities, and then one team in the conference final who's a big three mentality. Now, here's the thing. Miami is very, very good. And for all the questions that people created during the regular season, every time they had a losing streak, Scott, what did we say every single time Miami won on a losing streak?
Just wait for them to come.
It's the regular season. Everybody has losing streaks. Everybody has winning streaks. But here's the deal. Since March 10th, the Heat have lost five games since March 10th. Five games. That's it. They are hot at the right time. They've got two players that average 26 points a game, and the third player of that big three is averaging 18 points and 10 rebounds a game. They're a very, very good team, whether the rest of their team is crap and just it's just those big three. They're still a very good team. Now, it should be interesting to see what happens against Chicago. They lost three times during the regular season by a total of 8 points. But I think that was a different team than we're seeing now out of the Miami Heat. They're gelling. They look good. It seems like James and Wade have sort of found their roles with each other. Bosch has sort of figured out that he needs to be third fiddle to everybody else. The Miami Heat are a very good team. But the Bulls have some tough matchups because the two big thing that the Miami Heat don't have is a big man and a point guard. And the Bulls can expose that with Boozer, and they can expose that with Derrick Rose, obviously. So whatever happens in that, really, I think, will showcase what is a better route in the NBA, the team mentality or the big three mentality.
Which do you think is going to win out there?
Probably the big three mentality. I think Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are way too good over a seven-game series for you to beat them. Now, had the Celtics kept Rondo healthy, had Rondo been able to dribble with his left hand towards the end of that series, I think they could have had a very good shot of winning that series against the Heat. And here's the thing with the Celtics, I almost consider them a team mentality now. They were a big three. But none of those guys are extremely elite players anymore. Maybe you can make an argument for Garnett, but I think he's a step down from what he was. Pierce and Allen are a step down. They're a team-oriented team franchise now. And so I think that they, with Rondo, could have still beaten the Heat. But I think that they're a little bit better than the Bulls from top to bottom talent-wise. I think Derrick Rose is very good. I think Lou Aldang is good, but not great. I think that they're a step below what Boston brought to the table against the Heat.
I'm interested to see what Derrick Rose does, to see if he feels all the pressure of being the player of the year and now going up against LeBron James and Dwayne Wade for a chance to go play for the title. I hope that it doesn't turn into him trying to put it all on his shoulders.
No, and you saw it a little bit in the first round of the playoffs that he was doing that, but he seems to have leveled out a little bit. He seems to have remembered, oh yeah, I've got a pretty good supporting cast and I can go to. I can go to Dang, I can go to Noah, I can go to Boozer, and these guys will help me out. The Bulls have to stick together. If they start playing one-on-one basketball like everybody else does, they're going to lose that series in five games. But if they work together, if they play like a team, absolutely they've got a shot of winning that game. Now, here's the interesting thing. Let's say the Grizzlies end up beating Oklahoma City and end up going to the conference finals against Dallas. They were 3-1 against Dallas during the regular season. In fact, the Grizzlies have had pretty favorable matchups if you look at their season head-to-heads. They were 2-2 against San Antonio, beat them in a series. 3-1 against Oklahoma City. They're taking them to the wire, could end up beating them. And then Dallas, they were 3-1 against. So it's kind of intriguing to see, could Memphis, Scott, beat Dallas in a seven-game series?
No, I'm giving my faith to Dirk Nowitzki on this one time. They're finally not going to choke through the playoffs. They're going to ride the momentum they have from the sweep of the Lakers.
I hope so. I root for the Mavericks. I do, because I love Mark Cuban and I love Dirk Nowitzki. So I root for the Mavericks pretty much every single year, especially because they've just been such choke artists in the playoffs, and they've gotten horrible matchups. The year they lost to the Warriors, everybody knew they were going to lose that matchup. They had gotten smoked all year long. But Memphis is different than they were during the regular season. There's something different about them. They believe. They don't think of themselves as the Memphis Grizzlies. They think of themselves as this alter ego type of team, and the crowd believes in them. They are very, very electric at home. They're a good team. And so if Zach Randolph keeps putting up 30-point, 30-rebound games, Gasol keeps doing his thing, Mike Conley keeps controlling the tempo of the game, I think that they have a shot to win that series. Now, here's the X factor. When you've got guys like Tony Allen, who's a perennial bench warmer for a team like the Celtics, when you've got a guy like that playing a significant role, there's got to be a talent gap between you and the Dallas Mavericks.
I think the X factor is them getting through Game 7 against the Thunder. I think the Thunder are going to win there.
Well, I think so, too. Being at home for the Thunder and having Durant, who can take over, and Westbrook, who can take over. But you have to admit, the Grizzlies have had the Thunder's number a couple of times this year. All right, when we come back, we got the junk bin to talk about. We'll talk Tiger Woods and some other things in the world of sports. This weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.